Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q1 FY 2023 earnings conference call of Steelcase Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Faraz Ahmad from Orient Capital, Investor Relations Partner. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you and welcome to the Q1 FY 2023 earnings conference call of Steelcase Limited. Today on this call, we have Mr. Chetan Samboli, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Subhash Sharma, Senior VP Finance, and Mr. Umesh Bhat, Company Secretary. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today, and actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 2 of the company's investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website as well. With this, I hand over the call to Mr. Chetan Samboli for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone on this call. A very warm welcome from Steelcase Limited. It gives me great pleasure that the company has reported strong financial performance, even during the challenging times. Despite the global issues and inflationary conditions, we were able to grow in terms of volumes, revenues. Revenues growth was around 120% year-on-year, and PAT growth was about 167% over the same period last year. Just to give you all a brief, we are in business of steel casting since  1960. We started off with a partnership firm and then got converted into a private limited company in 1972, and then a public limited company in 1994. The company enjoys leading position in steel casting industry and manufactures wide range of steel and alloy steel castings, catering to diverse industrial sectors like cement, mining, earthmoving, construction industry, industrial machinery, railroad, locomotive. The company enjoys long-standing relationship with the globally renowned marquee clients, exporting now to close to 15 countries. Original equipment sales are more than 99%. Being a preferred steel casting player, the company enjoys long-term standing relationships with globally well-reputed clients. The company is now a two-star export house, successfully competing with other industry players across the globe. The company's product processes, safety standards, environmental friendly mechanisms meet with global standards and certification, speaking of volume of its capabilities. The key developments for the first quarter FY 2023, the revenue and profitability continue to get better and improve even further as the focus is very clear to reduce dependence on the base industries we've been catering all these years, and focus is on diversification of the end user industries. We plan to focus aggressively on the North American railroad industries to increase customer base, increase number of parts. Going ahead, strong traction could be witnessed for our products with a healthy order book for the next few quarters. The company has signed a long-term supply agreement with a large railroad OEM in USA to supply steel castings for the North American railroad industry, as announced earlier. This new agreement will help us to de-risk the business by reducing industry concentration and further consolidate this position in the overseas market. The steel casts which are being supplied in this agreement are in advanced stage of development and will generate additional revenues for the year around 75 crore-80 crore in the coming 1.5-2 years time, starting from FY 2023 third quarter onwards. Thereafter, annually, we plan to do sales of around 80 crore year-on-year. the company has obtained required approvals and also applied for recertification, which will be completed within the next 3 months' time. This new agreement will help us to de-risk the business by reducing industry concentration and further consolidate our position in the overseas market. Considering company high quality standards and on-time deliveries, we are confident to have a long-term association with this customer. Furthermore, to support our plans to de-risk the business to reduce dependency on one or two sectors, we envisage to foray into new business segments like defense, ground engaging tools, in addition to railroad locomotives, as explained before. In past few quarters, depending on earthmoving, mining sector has reduced and revenue from other sectors have increased. The company has also obtained aerospace certification from a German agency, which will help in exploiting German market. With this development, we anticipate share of revenue from mining earthmoving to decline in the coming 2 to 3 years' time. The long-term supply agreement with large OEMs in North America will help us to establish a position in the railroad industry. We currently have exposure to core industrial sectors like earthmoving, mining, resources and locomotives, cement, transportation, etc., and are positioned to benefit from CAPEX, public infra spend in India and other countries going forward. We also plan to install another 5 megawatt power plant. We have entered into a 25-year power purchase agreement through wind and solar hybrid power project to be set up in Gujarat region in captive consumption mode. We expect to receive power from this hybrid plant on or before 31st March 23. There are about 6 other companies which will be drawing power from the same hybrid power plant. The company has also planned to put up another exclusive 5 megawatt solar power plant with an investment of about rupees 22 crores, which would result in an additional saving of 4.25 crores per year. And we expect to gain from this plant also by on or before March 31st, 23. Both these plants will meet around 80-90% of the total power requirement, and the balance 20% requirement will be met through the State Electricity Board. On the volume front, we will continue to increase as we add new clients and aim to increase orders from existing clients also. The capacity utilization in the first quarter of this year stood around 53% compared to 29%. In the corresponding quarter Q1 of FY22. Some of the key financial updates, the revenue grew about 120% on year-on-year basis to about 116 crores on the back of strong order book from the customers across all industries. Domestic revenue stood at 43 crores, a growth of about 105% on year-on-year basis. Export revenue stood at 73 crores, with a growth of 128% on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA grew by 108% on a year-on-year basis to rupees 24.1 crores for Q1 FY23. Our PAT has also grown by 167% to rupees 14.1 crores compared to 5.3 crores in the corresponding period of Q1 FY22. Volume growth, operational efficiencies, cost rationalization efforts led to increase in overall profitability and also softening of input prices in the first quarter of the current financial year. Thank you very much, and we look forward for any questions any one of you have. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Based on your quarter one performance and the visibility or the order backlog that you have in hand, what kind of capacity utilization do you foresee for full year FY23? We have done about about a shade less than 4,000 tons in volume in quarter one. Can we annualize this number based on visibility that you have, or we should look at it otherwise, considering the lumpiness that's there in your business actually?
Yeah, the plan is that for the full year, we should have about 57% utilization. On shipment basis, we have done about 53% in the current quarter, but as we move, output should increase, and we should end up the year with about 57%.
Okay. And sir, on the steel price side, after the rise in quarter four and then the softness which we see, so what kind of steel realization drop should we see in your revenue line, or you would largely be flat on a YOY basis considering the current steel price?
Yeah, as I said, in the first quarter, April, May, June, gradually the input cost, now whether it is steel, metallic, ferroalloy, sand, binders, etc., they have softened this. So effective 1st July, we may have some sales price drop because of the benefit we would have from the lower input prices. And as we have the sales price variation formula across all customers and all industries, so these things will move now with a lag of a quarter. Have I answered your question?
No, I was actually looking at based on the price rise that we saw in the steel and the fall that we saw now, in between your 22 revenues and 23 revenues, will it be a largely flattish steel price for your realization or a drop in steel price?
Our prices may drop about 3-4% on a year-on-year basis because of the softening of input prices.
Okay.
But as things are very volatile, so we are not able to have visibility beyond a quarter. But by and large, this is what I personally feel with all the geopolitical situations what we have, we would have a maybe drop of 3-4%.
Okay. And sir, lastly, on this railroad and locomotive side, the two new customers, when should it start contributing to revenue? Does it mean that your FY24, you will have this additional 75 crore business flowing through?
See, we expect to recertify ourselves towards the end of October from the American Railroad Association, which is a premier body who certifies companies who can supply to railroad products. So thereafter, you will see some small volumes happening right up to FY23. The peak of 75-80 crores, I expect this to happen in FY2025, for the year 2024-25.
Okay.
And together with one or two more customers where we are developing this railroad part, so we should see this peaking in 2024-25, to about 1 year, 9 months from now.
So do you have the visibility for this 57% utilization which you mentioned for 23? Do you have the orders in hand or the supply schedules in hand?
We have enough supply schedules on hand to claim that we'll do 57%, and we do have a very, very strong visibility.
Okay.
Customers place orders for 2.5-3 months at a time. But they keep asking us to keep capacity, reserve our capacity. So on that basis, we are pretty confident to have about 57% utilization for the whole year.
Okay. And so lastly, this 11 crore power saving will be additional over and above the 21-22% margin that we are already making, right? This power saving will come next year, just to clarify.
Absolutely. Both these plants should be commissioned on or before 31st March 23. So theoretically, we should start getting the savings effective April 23.
Perfect, sir. Thank you very much, and all the best to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Chaudhary from Samarth Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, you talked about utilization. What sort of number would you have for FY24 and your visibility or confidence regarding this?
As of now, we have indications from all the customers for FY23-24. Barring unforeseen circumstances and the new geopolitical situation emerging between China and Taiwan, barring all that, we should do anywhere from 70% to 75% in the next financial year.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ronak Vora from AUM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, with the steel prices softening, our EBITDA currently, which is 45-46 rupees per kg, do you see it going down in case the steel price is correct?
I think this number should be constant either way, with the whether the prices go up or go down, or sale prices go up and down, we should be around this level.
So in case, say, the current steel price goes down by, say, 20% to 30%, we will still make 45 rupees EBITDA per kg. Is my understanding correct?
Yes, theoretically, yes. We should be able to do the same.
Okay. Sir, on my second question, sir, currently what is our inventory days as of June? On the raw material end?
Our raw material inventory will be close to about 40 days.
40
days? And if you see, overall inventories in FY22. All types of benefit. It was about 143 days or so.
Okay. And sir, how much of this inventory would be at high cost, and we do have to take an inventory write down going ahead in case prices soften?
A very negligible part, because see, 44 days, you'd also have all the store spares and those key items also. But for the top class A and B items, the inventory would be much lower than 30 days time. So we should be in line with the current prices, you know.
Okay. Sir, my third question was on the order book. In the last quarter, you said it was around 200 odd crores. Where are we in terms of order book as of the June quarter?
We should be in excess of 300 crores now, as of now. But these numbers keep fluctuating month-on-month basis. But if you have to do sales on an annualized number of Q1, which is about 465 crores, so at any point of time, we would have about 300 crores of order book.
Okay. And sir, this year, are we sure that we'll be able to surpass the 400 crores of top line in this year?
Sir, if you have done 115 crores in the first quarter, theoretically this number should be 460.
No. What I mean to say is, because in Q2 and Q3 generally is a soft quarter for us, and then, you know, everything gets picked up in Q4 again for us. So that is why I just want to understand.
We have a very strong visibility for Q2, Q3. So, I would say that we should surely cross the annual rate of 150 crores for the FY23.
Okay. And sir, I had one last question. We are setting up this 5 megawatt power plant, and you said there will be a savings of around 11 crores. So can you just help me understand how?
See, our power cost is around 8 rupees a kg. We would be buying this at a substantial lower price. So whatever generation happens in both types of our power plant, the hybrid as well as exclusive solar, and whatever generation happens, we buy it at a substantially lower price. So the generation into the saving, we should make it to about 10.5, 11 crores.
Okay, and by when will we be able to, so will it happen in FY23 itself or in 20?
Yeah, I just said a little while back that both these plants, we expect to commission this on or before 31st March. So we should start getting savings from April 23.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we go ahead, I would request all the participants to limit their questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishika from Niveshai. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so my first question is, since we are diversifying into other industries as well, like locomotives or railroads, so I wanted to understand what is actually helping us to get those orders and who can be our direct competitors into these industries, as in locomotives, railroad, or even in mining, who can be our direct competitors?
See, for each of these end-user industries and within the end-user industries, there are a lot of players. So in terms of competition, we would be competing with different companies, whether it's located in Brazil, United States, maybe China or some East European companies. So it'll be really difficult to really find out exactly for, and even within customers in terms of number of parts, we'll be competing with many players. So very difficult to answer this question, who this competition is and how are we compared to them, because most of these players are closely held.
So sir, what is actually helping us in getting the orders of locomotives, like the order we have received from US? So what actually helped us getting that order?
One is the kind of facilities we have. There may not be many players like us. Like I would imagine not more than 6-7 players who would have a complete integrated facilities like we have. We've been supplying to this host of OEMs across the world. So there is a good reference for the company in terms of qualities and deliveries. And if anybody looks at India, wants to source from India, then within India, we would be in the top 1, 2, 3 players. So, and plus our sales team also is very aggressive in finding customers and trying to see what their needs are and what our capabilities are. So, all these factors put together, we are able to penetrate in this advanced market.
Okay, sir. Also, the second question is that, as you mentioned, that our current order book is around 300 crores. So, in how much period it will be executed?
Please repeat your questions.
Our current order book execution cycle, sir. So, it is 300 crores right now. So, on basis of revenue, if we compute, it must be around 1 year?
No, as I said, if you have to do sales of the annualized number of first quarter, and if we have 300 crores, so it would be some 5-6 months.
Okay, thank you.
I also want to add that other than the facilities and the quality, I think in India there will be only 2 players who have certification from the US Railroad who can supply castings to US for North American Railroad. So there is one player and we might be the second one in India. So that's another factor why these customers come all the way to India.
Okay. So can we know that other player as well, the name of that player? Hello?
I'm not very sure, but could be Texmaco.
Texmaco, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from NB Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers.
Thank you.
I have two questions. The first one is regarding the margins for the current financial year. Since you have mentioned most of the input prices have either remained stable or softening down, and there is a lag in passing on the prices, you know, this drop in prices to the customers. In addition to that, higher capacity utilization, is it fair to assume that the margins for FY23 would be better than FY22?
It would be better because we did the utilization of 49% in FY22 and we do 57 now in FY23. So with the increase in operating leverage, we should do better.
Okay. So now that you have given, you know, for 57% utilization, we may reach around 460. So that means with the current capacity, we can go up to 800 some plus crores top line from the existing facilities?
Yes, on the current sales prices and the input prices, the full capacity, we should be able to do 800 crore plus.
Okay. So my last question is, in the recent quarter con call from Caterpillar, due to lockdown in China and some other factors, they have given, minus 5% drop in their locomotive sales throughout the world. So since we are one of the major suppliers to them, have they indicated any drop in their requirement for the remaining three quarters?
Their order book is slightly softening, but in our case, we should be able to perform on the first, on the Q1 numbers.
So you mean to say their bit downward projections is not going to affect us for the current financial year?
I would put it the other way. Had their volumes not gone down, we would have done much better than the first quarter annualized number. It's because of their softening order book, we are at the current level.
Okay, but for FY24, you have already given something around 70 to 75% capacity utilization. Is it based on better order from them, or it is still under slightly lesser than what you had in, you know, plan in mind?
It's a combination of several factors. These are indications from our existing customers. B, we have an ongoing drive of developing new parts, which as and when they are developed, it converts into additional sales. Three, approval from the U.S. Railroad Association for supplying to U.S. Railroad. Four, the new industries they are entering, they would also get converted. Those parts also would get converted into serial supply. So these are all, you know, combination of various factors and indication from all of our customers. On that basis, this is being planned.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, very good afternoon. One question, you referred to the defense and aerospace sectors in the initial comments that you made. What is the current state of readiness with regard to these two sectors? Any details that you can share?
As we have said earlier, we are developing some parts for defense. Only thing is the progress is slow. We should do more of defense maybe in the next financial year, but we are not able to really predict what could be those volumes or with all the bureaucracy we see. So the prediction is extremely difficult, but we should do little more than what we've been doing.
Right, right. And you refer to a German aerospace customer. Did I hear that correct, sir?
No, what you said is because of this certification, our access to the defense should be a lot easier compared to others. And also the success of the prototype we will supply maybe hopefully towards the end of the year. So we should be well placed compared to others. And in this 57% what we are planning utilization in the current year is excluding the defense which we might do. Huh?
Right, right.
This year and next year, yeah.
Right. Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arjun Yadav from MET Investment Solutions. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for this opportunity. In one of our previous calls, you did mention that we are like 25-30% lesser than our immediate competitor. Today we see this whole China plus one intensifying given the ecosystem around us. Don't you see that we could be reaching the 70-80% capacity utilization much sooner than what you think because we are the cheapest players in the arena?
There could be a possibility that we would reach 90% much earlier than what we are envisaging. But it's always good to, you know, not to over-project ourselves and be conservative because the more aggressive you are, in turn, you would also hurt your margins. So it's better to go, step by step and then increase the capacity. For example, we can fill the capacity tomorrow, but that may not be in the best interest of all the stakeholders.
No, my question was not on building capacity. I was just thinking, so allow me to understand this, sir. If you are the cheapest player, why is it tough to scale up the capacity in the next one or two quarters? Why do we have to wait for 2 years to get to the peak capacity? I mean, maybe I'm missing some major part of your business model. Could you please explain why is it tougher to, because we are the cheapest player making the products what we're doing.
We may not be the cheapest, I would like you to correct that, but whatever I have said before is that compared to Western Europe and North American companies, our competition, we may be 20, 25, 30% lower. A. B. This line, the development and the lead times are very high when you start developing parts. From the request for quote, to start supplying in a bulk form, it takes anywhere from 10 to 12 months time. So we would so it's an ongoing process now, and these kind of companies really the growth is more stable than growing leaps and bounds.
Okay, thanks for that. One last question. You did say that our competitors are from China and other parts of the world. Could you tell us you phrased some time back that we have 4 lakh, 5 lakh tons of market size and we are like 3-4% to it. So your next CapEx would come after 2 years hence? Is that what it is? Or are you planning anything earlier?
To put up a greenfield facility, it takes about 2 years' time. So, we would reach about 95% in 25-26. So, maybe end of the current fiscal year, we would deciding on when to really kickstart this. So, plus there are also a lot of uncertainties around the world. One has to be very cautious. One has to be very pragmatic in deciding this. So we will take a call end of the financial year and see when do we start this.
Okay. So one last question. your domestic side, has it grown proportionately to the way you have grown internationally this quarter, or has it been any less? And how do you see it growing in the next 1 year?
I think the growth is in proportion more or less same, but I'll give you the exact numbers. In the domestic market, compared to Q1 22 to Q1 23, the exports were just 1% different. It was 60 corresponding quarter and 61 now, and the same way for domestic, 40 and 39. So the growth is proportionate.
Sequentially?
Sorry?
And sequentially? I mean, from the last quarter?
Yes, yes. More or less same.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations. You delivered exactly on your guidance, probably slightly better than that. So I must congratulate you on execution.
Thank you.
Sir, I had a question on the costing side. So in terms of some of the costs that have been incurred by all the manufacturing companies, for example, freight and higher power costs, how does pricing or costing in your particular case work out? So the higher freight that you are probably paying for your exports, are you able to recover everything as of now from your customers? Have you built that entirely in your costing? Or is there a component of energy prices or higher freight which you could not recover?
Yeah, one is for your information, all our export sales are exports. Okay. The customers
on your exports are?
Yeah. Are export basis. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So it's the customer who come here and take their products.
Right.
So in spite of very high ocean freight in last two and a half years, we have not been impacted at all.
Great.
And as far as the input prices are concerned, we have an ongoing sales price variation formula.
Right.
So if the input prices go up, we get a sales price increase. If it goes down, we give price reduction. So we are pretty much insulated from these sudden cost increases and things like that. So so to answer your question again, all exports are exports, so we don't factor in any...
Sir, would that cover any fluctuations in the currency as well? Are your contracts only, for example, if you are supplying to any European countries or OEMs, are you pricing the contract in dollars or euro? Is there a FX component where you are open and which is not covered under
the For example, all of our European sales are in euros and the other countries are in US dollar.
Right.
So, whether the rupee appreciates or depreciates, we get compensated from the customer.
With a one-quarter lag, probably.
With a one-quarter lag, yes.
Excellent, excellent. Sir, second question was also on costing. As we ramp up, now the ramp-ups that we are going to see are going to be substantial. And this is something that I've asked you before, just for repetition's sake. As we go from early 50s to mid-70 levels, what components of fixed cost would we need to increase to keep pace with the production? Is there any, for example, are you going to hire more people? Is there any other thing that will ramp up proportionate to the sales, which we are as of now not seeing because you have been operating on sub 50% utilization levels?
See, one of the major cost which is part of the fixed cost is people cost.
Right.
So there will be addition of people as we move move forward. And the rest of the fixed cost is pretty much would be fixed. Huh? out of the fixed cost, there will be a marginal increase in people cost.
Great. Sir, one final clarification. You mentioned in one of the, in reply to one of the questions that some clients were seeing software order books. Sir, I missed which set of clients are seeing software order book. Can you please repeat that?
See, I think somebody on the call asked that when they attended the call from Caterpillar, announced that there was softening of their order book. So obviously, their supply chain will also see a lower number. So, but this has been factored in the current financial year. And so it's after the softening, we have performed this first quarter. So beyond this, we don't see any softening coming for at least the current financial year. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Priyank Parekh from Roops Consultants LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, Jason bhai. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Jason bhai, can you give insight on the customer concentration, like how much contribution is coming from our top 5 or top 10 customers?
I can tell you top 15 is about 65% of revenue.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Your audio was not that proper. Could you please repeat?
Yeah, the top 15 will be about 65% of the sale.
Okay, top 15 and any insight on top 5?
Top 5 maybe around 35-40.
Okay, good. Okay, that's it.
Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Ashok Shah from LFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, after many years, we are on growth footing and profitable way. So we had first time in history, declared a dividend in the first quarter. So this, what's the plan for the distribution of dividend and profit? Are there any changes management is looking at?
Yeah, from last 15 years, if you see your numbers, we have a policy of distributing 20% of profit after tax. And we have been continuously doing that, as I said, over the last 15 years. So that policy will surely continue. B, what we thought in the board meeting yesterday is that we have to give at the end of the year. Why don't we start giving every quarter? Because one reason is we are long-term debt-free company, liquidity is pretty good, cash accruals are very good, receivables are under control. So why don't we do this as a step towards making the company more investor-friendly? So with this background, we have decided to do this on a quarterly basis, barring unforeseen circumstances.
So we can expect a dividend every quarter.
I hope so, and you should pray every morning that we do this every quarter.
So kind of you, sir. Investors are waiting for the dividend over last and the painful pain we have faced over last 10 years. Maybe it's a very difficult phase we had gone through. Sir, second question is, at present, every time over the last 20 years, 25 years, whenever we have expanded and the market has gone in recession, and we had to face some pain afterwards, after expansion. So currently, with our capacity, I think we can reach around 33,000 tons approximately, if I am correct. So at 33,000 capacity, what could be our max turnover when we reach in future?
To answer your questions, I think you're right that whenever in the past we have expanded capacities, there has been a downturn. So we are extremely cautious in deciding increase in capacities. Whatever we are investing now is mainly for balancing and debottlenecking the operation. That is the reason when people keep asking questions, when do we want to expand? So we are very cautious on this. So we would decide somewhere around March 23 whether we should start capacity expansion ASAP. I did say on this call that on the current input price and sales prices at full capacity, we should be 800 crore plus.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's for my wishes for the next year and future year. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ronak Vora from AUM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Are we still in partnership with AIA for the manufacturing?
No. We had this AIA contract in 2014 or 2015 for a very short while. We don't do any work for them as of now.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishika from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello. So this one question, what are we targeting the revenue mix as in right now we have 52% or 53% of revenue from mining. So what is our target revenue mix in terms of mining, earth moving and locomotives and railroads?
See, we have a very strong plan on how we de-risk ourselves from mining, earth moving and construction equipment industry. Just to give you one perspective, in 2013, our mining was 84%. Currently, it is 25% and likely to go to 23 in FY26. So, in all the industries, wherever we were 10 years ago, there has been a gradual shift and we are working very, very aggressively on reducing dependence on the base industry. So with addition of new industries like railways, ground aggregating tools, locomotives, the de-risking is an ongoing process and we are substantially better than what we were a few years ago.
Sir, but with decrease in mining, our earth-moving segment has increased. So, I guess that has actually been set off. Mining and earth-moving both are cyclical, right? So, it has actually not in a way de-risked ourselves. So, just wanted to understand this both together, like mining and earth-moving, how much the new mix we can have in FY 25 or 26 or so.
From 84-85%, the combination should be between mining and earth moving about 60%.
Okay.
And other industries like construction, railroad will be about 15% each. So, and then the other 5-6 industries will be the balance number.
Okay. Thank you. This will be by the end of?
FY26.
FY26. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Bhatia from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So congratulations on a very good quarter.
Mr. Bhatia, your audio is too low. Could you please increase your volume a little bit?
Yeah. Hello.
This is much better. Please proceed.
Yeah. Sir, congratulations on a very good quarter.
Thank you.
I just have one question. Basically, if given the, you know, the power plant starting and assuming other things like freight and metal prices and all remaining constant, what kind of, margins are we targeting for the current year and maybe next year with better utilization?
See, See, our first goal is we should be consistent with the present margins in all the four quarters. That is A. For the next year, we'll have this additional savings from power and plus with the increased output. So the operating leverage should kick in, so we should do better than this year.
Okay. So any thought process, maybe 200, 300 basis points or something like that, or is, you know.
I think for the present, just the beginning of the year, I can only say now that we do better now. In terms of quantitative details, it's extremely difficult to really predict with various uncertainties around the world what we are seeing. So, but it should be better than this year.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Bodani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. So congrats on the great set of results in Q1.
Thank you.
Last call, you had mentioned that while there is no seasonality in the business, on a quarterly basis, you see an uprising trend. So like Q2 is better than Q1, Q3 better than Q2, and so on. So do you see that in this financial year as well?
We would shortly hope to do better than the Q1 numbers, because generally, as the year moves, the numbers tend to improve. But then there are some years where the second and third quarter are slightly dampened. But in the current scenario, we should be consistent in line with the first quarter and maybe slightly better in the second, third, fourth quarter.
All right. And sir, on the EBITDA margins again, so if I look at your numbers for FY21, when you were doing only 25% capacity utilization, you were doing around 20% EBITDA margins. And now that we are at 50% plus, like we have doubled our capacity utilization, we are still around 21%. So why are we not able to see the big benefit of operating leverage, or is it because of? So if you could explain this.
Yeah. First of all, FY22 was not 25% utilization, it was 49.
No, sir, 21.
Yeah, FY21 was 24%.
Right, and still you did around 20% EBITDA margins for the full financial year.
Right.
Right, and now you are around 53% capacity utilization, and we are still around 21% EBITDA. So don't you think that the operating leverage should have pushed it a bit further, or if you could explain why we have not been able to get a larger advantage?
Really, I don't have an answer as of now why the EBITDA margins are not improving. But I think compared to past, we are doing far better.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. As mentioned, our current utilization level is 57%. So on a progressing basis, what are we looking at depending on the deliverables from the OEM? What should be the average utilization level for the year as a whole? Can you give a trajectory, sir?
In the first quarter of FY23, we did about 53%. But for the whole year, FY23, we plan to do about 57-58%.
Okay. And sir, can you look at players like Gainwell, who are generally operating as dealers to Caterpillar? They are themselves giving orders, having order book of above 3,000 crore mainly in the underground mining business segment. So what portion of the business are we catering to Caterpillar, sir? And what there must be a visibility for at least 3 to 4 years, since they are having order book of in excess of 3,000 crore.
Which company you said? I didn't get it.
Sir, I'm talking about, I was reading a report on from India Rating on Gainwell Cosmos sales. They are one of the dealers to Caterpillar. They operate the dealership business of Caterpillar Construction and Earth Moving Equipment. And in their order book, in this report I read about Gainwell having an order book of in excess of 3,000 crores catering to the underground mining segment. So that will be routed through the Caterpillar only. So they must be having visibility of at least 2 to 3 years down the line. So I was just trying to get the sense from you what kind of business, the percentage of business we are doing through Caterpillar, and what is the pillar from them going ahead.
Now, first of all, I have no idea about this 3,000 crore order book. And even if it's true, these are for equipments now. Each equipment will cost, 1.5-2 crore of rupees, right? And what we do is a small part of this equipment. Okay.
Right.
So, they would have firm orders on us for, 3-4 months time. But they do share the visibility of forward 15-18 months. Like we don't have this kind of firm orders for 3-4 years.
Correct.
And now this 3,000 crores would mean, we need to really go a deep dive into this, that what is this company's annual sales, and 3,000 crore will work out to what, how many years of order book. But even from my knowledge of our customer sales, no dealer would have any firm visibility beyond 4-5 months. This is my knowledge.
Okay. So I just stand corrected there, sir. I will also
And please enlighten also if there's anything for us to learn from you. Please let us know.
Sir, I can share that report to the IR team and that will be sent to you.
Sure. Thank you.
And sir, if you look at the casting part, sir, it appears and it is that you are in the niche segment, whereas other players catering to the MSCVs and the tractors and all, what is the key differentiator, sir? I mean, we chose the niche segment, so having capacity utilization levels of 57%, can we also look to cater the other segments of MSCV, tractors, off-road? We are in the railway, so if you could throw some more light on why specifically in these earth moving equipment only?
Okay, I'll explain you. Now, the moment you shift your focus to tractor industry or light commercial vehicles, they have castings, but they are all iron castings. Okay?
Right.
It is not wise to manufacture iron and steel in the same manufacturing facilities. A. B. The tractor industry and the light commercial vehicles, I'm talking about auto companies, is highly competitive, and I don't think any supplier would be having EBITDA beyond 13-14%. So with this reason, we have never ventured out in making iron castings. We would stick to steel castings, and among all these type of castings, we believe that we know steel castings well compared to other types of castings.
Right. So there's a huge differentiation in both.
Yes. Please.
Thank you, sir. And I'll share this report, sir. And
please
get in touch with
the IR. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Namaskar, sir. Thank you for answering.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Chetan Tamboli for closing comments.
First of all, on behalf of Steelcast, thank you very much for spending your valuable time attending this call. It really helps the management in learning more when you ask, different type of questions. And you may not know, but we learn a lot from the questions being asked by all the stakeholders. So please continue doing this. We'll be very happy to be as transparent as possible. And I want to add one more point, which I missed in the initial period, that our company has got one notch up financial rating from CARE, from triple B stable to triple B plus positive. So happy to share this and look forward to connecting with everyone again. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Steelcast Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.